and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone is having a terrific Tuesday today. Lots of articles and stuff to go over with you guys, as always. One thing I did want to touch base on here, I saw this a second ago, and this is interesting. The top defense contractors saw a $10 billion stock boost following the Syrian airstrikes. They said the top weapons manufacturers have soared, adding a collective $10 billion in market capital value over the course of just a few days. The barrage of 118 U.S. Tomahawk missiles rained down on Syria Friday night, which increased the company's, the top one, Raytheon, company that manufactures the actual Tomahawk cruise missiles, increased their stock value $2.5 billion in 2 days. Other top weapons manufacturers, Lockheed Martin, General Dynamics, Boeing, and Northrop Grumman, it's becoming apparent how profitable a business war is. They said that the Tomahawk missiles cost us $1.4 million per missile. We spent $165 million just on missiles last Friday night, and that does not even touch the expense for the air guidance systems, the planes, the radars, the doggone ships, the deployment, the manpower. All that stuff is also factored in separately as well. So as I told you guys a month ago when we proposed and signed off in the U.S. government of the largest military expenditure budget in U.S. history, that we would find a need and a reason to spend all this money on. So other than that, though, what do you think about that, Dad?
Well, you got to figure, if you look at the money, the cost, the ships, the planes, everything else they're using, you'd be in the billions of dollars for this strike. I mean, because remember, we're spending billions of dollars every week anyhow just in maintenance of the infrastructure of this incredible army that we've developed that's global now, this worldwide conquest that we've got on our minds. It costs a lot of money to do this. Now, it's interesting because I had a long talk with one of my contacts the other day, several hours, and he's a nationally known alternative talk show host, and he hasn't given me permission to share all of this, so I'm not going to really mention his name at all, but I'm just going to tell you that he's one of my contacts. And he said that the biggest problem they have right now in Washington with Trump is that they've got some trash on Trump, and Trump doesn't want the trash coming out. And the only way he can prevent the trash from coming out is he had to launch a missile strike into Syria. I'm just telling you what they told me. And that he basically did the minimal amount he could. They wanted a much, much bigger strike. They wanted to precipitate World War III. He was unwilling to do that. But because he launched what he did, because of this threat he's under, he basically was able to avert World War III and also not do any significant damage in Syria. So it's almost one of those things. He's doing his best not to get swallowed up by the deep state and being basically sold into this ruling cabal. Now, there's an interesting article that just came out today, and it's by Preston James, and he's one of my favorite writers. He's a PhD. And the name of the article, and you guys can look it up, is Why Do So Many Feds Sell Out to the Ruling Cabal, or the Khazarian Mafia, or the crime family that rules the world, or the deep state, whatever you want to call it. You guys pick your own name. And I'm going to read you a couple of his key points that he's made in here, because, quite frankly, it's pretty good. He goes, many federal agents, also known as feds, sell out to the evil ruling cabal because of great pay, the best benefits, and a sense of power. And the alternative would cause major personal losses and extreme forever problems. In other words, the problems simply would not go away. Now, first, he says, most lower-level feds are so highly compartmentalized and removed from the secret evil and globalist New World Order agenda and policies of the ruling cabal that they just don't understand how their agency serves as a parasitical plague on we the people in the world. In other words, they're clueless because of compartmentalization. Second, most feds have completely internalized the false ideology of their agency, which has been carefully provided by cabal leaders, and is quite anti-human in many ways when carefully examined, such as they tell you we're serving the greater purpose by going in and bombing Syria to prevent them from issuing a chemical warfare against the United States. Of course, they don't tell you how they're going to do that, but the people actually sign up and believe this. And third, those feds do not find this out, feel compelled, who find out that basically they've been lied to and feel compelled to speak out, get stepped on by the ruling cabal, Of course, the ruling cabal's several top leaders are able to easily subvert and neutralize the rule of law. Cabal leaders can do this because of the extreme absolute power they wield by occupying the very top of their hierarchy, thereby easily making self-serving policies and exerting control over all the aspects of the United States government, Congress, and law enforcement agencies. Now, he says something here that's extremely good. I'm scanning through this very quickly because it's going to take too much to cover the whole thing. He goes, he spoke to one of the crime leaders a few years ago, and here's what he said, quote, from the crime leader who was involved with the drugs, the prostitution, with the federal government. Quote, drugs and prostitution have always been here. It's a fact of history, and no one is ever going to stop drugs and prostitution. Now, these are hard realities of life. Drugs will always be imported and be sold. It's a fact of history and a fact of life. We don't force anyone to use drugs. It's their own free choice. Now, do you want all of this money going to the scumbag street urchins to waste? Or doesn't it make more sense for this money to go to your government to be used to protect the national security of America so America can remain strong and you can have true freedom? Nobody forces anyone to buy or to use drugs. It's an individual choice. But it just happens to be a historical reality. That's the way it goes. So grow up and think like a big boy. If you don't do this, someone else will do it anyway. So it's not like your refusal would ever make a dent in all this anyway. End quote. Now, what they're basically saying is, since we've got people got you, you were using drugs anyhow, the government will do it and make more money on it. Now, this is crazy.
Yeah.
We have to understand something else. First, it is a fact that national security is often involved. This is a false cloak of providing cover for many of the illegal, unconstitutional acts of these federal agents. It serves as a strong motivator for feds to just accept that sometimes rules and laws must be broken to protect America. Second, there's long-term norms and strange subcultures that have emerged. These are normalized grave crimes against we the people in breaking America, breaking laws, violating the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Now, then he goes on to say something very, very interesting. This is a very long article. I'm skimming through most of it. The ruling cabal mandates and creates all top United States government policies. The earlier members hijacked America in 1913 when they used human compromise ops and bribery to pass their notably illegal and unconstitutional Federal Reserve Act, the greatest fraud ever perpetrated on Americans. Approximately 40% of our federal taxes goes to pay the Federal Reserve System banksters as payments on illegal interest they charge us for using what should have been our own real money in the first place, but it now has become cabal-issued interest-bearing debt notes instead, using Babylonian money magic. The ruling cabal can create money out of thin air. Here we go. Listen, enough to buy, bribe, and control every part of the U.S. government from top to bottom. That's why I said, if we don't get rid of this group, this evil Federal Reserve, we can't fix this. This evil satanic cabal has used its unlimited money power to construct a hierarchy of its authority that engulfs the whole United States government as well as every state government top to bottom. Thus today, America is now organized in a big hierarchy of agents of cabal control, where a federal agent crosses a cabal or his senior cutouts, he or she is subject to the full weight of the federal, state, and local governments being brought down upon their head, and the United States government boot in their face 24/7 for the rest of their life. This is one of the best articles I've ever read concerning who these guys are, what they do, and how they control everything about the United States. Conclusion. The major crimes of the FBI are now being exposed in spades. Many of the good FBI special agents are now thoroughly disgusted with the top FBI leadership who have been functioning as RICO criminals for the ruling cabal. The cabal is believed to be, by some insiders, to be a massively retaliating by AI-run back removals of posts. These strikes continue to strike back at users. Every day, more evidence of serious federal agency and United States government crimes of the ruling cabal are being disclosed on the Internet to the masses. Now, guys, we the people have to take back all of it, back to square one. The actual cabal hijacking in 1913 has to go away. We have to get rid of the Federal Reserve Act. Only then can new forms of money, honesty, integrity, and righteousness be instilled in the federal agents instead of the self-serving, cabal-created, evil, anti-constitutional, illegal agency subcultures. That is one of the best articles I've ever read. You need to all read this. It is by Preston James. It is called Why Do So Many Feds Sell Out to the Ruling Cabal? He makes it all so simple, but he's absolutely right. It is a satanic subculture that has crept into our entire government structure, including pedophilia, child trafficking, sex trafficking, drug trafficking, or all of it. It's all part of this federal government substructure, and they justify it. Well, somebody's going to do it anyhow. We might as well do it and make the money to basically support the country, and it's grown way beyond that now. They're using it to destroy the country. Austin, what do you think?
You're exactly right, man. And I mean, it's all based on lies. That's the problem. This house of cards that they have built around us of this whole aspect of freedom and protection, it's all lies. There is no freedom. There is no protection. They're actually both fully diminished. You have no freedom to make your own choice or do what you want essentially anymore. And you're not protected because at any given time, the tyrannical government can come in and force you to do what they want you to do or essentially throw you behind bars. We've seen this happen with numerous incidences, everything from income tax to, you know, vehicle registration to a parking ticket to a toll road, anything. You name it, they can pretty much arrest you for it now. It's gotten that out of hand. And the problem is now we're continuing to go to war over lies and more lies. And the fact, like you said yesterday, Dad, that Trump's approval rating, if it did indeed go up, if that was accurate and not a, you know, flubbered poll that went up and he actually really did go up. How sad have we become in this country that we actually support and root for the bombing of a completely sovereign country? By the way, I might add, has never threatened the United States, France, or the UK in one way or another in any recent history. Syria has never shown any aggression to any of these countries whatsoever, yet we just barrage them with an onslaught of missiles. Now, I saw an interview today that was actually over the weekend from scientist Saeed Saeed, head of the Institute of Department of Pharmaceutical and Chemical Industries. He actually did an interview outside of one of the huge facilities that was bombed to literally rubble on Friday. He did this interview on Saturday and another one on Sunday. He said the attack launched by the United States, the UK, and France had reduced the Pharmaceutical and Chemical Industries Research Institute to rubble. According to the report, he noted the facility's use was centered on preparing the chemical compositions for cancer drugs and conducting chemical analysis of materials entering Syria, which are used in pharmaceutical and food industry. He said back in 2013, the facility had been used by the organization for chemical weapons. He said, but since then, it has now been used as a research center for pharmaceutical products because sanctions from the Western country that are bombing Syria have resulted in a massive shortage of medication. He said, since the Syrian crisis broke out, the country has been short of all kinds of medicines due to the sanctions from the overbearing Western countries. Foreign companies stopped exporting high-quality medicine to Syria, especially anti-cancer medicine. The shortage of medicine will be even greater than the U.S. has destroyed this main research center that the Pentagon is proudly claiming that it destroyed a facility dedicated to producing chemical weapons. However, international weapons inspector declared the Syrian government had surrendered all of its chemical weapons in June 2014, and each time there have been reports of a chemical attack in Syria, Assad has vehemently denied responsibility. So instead of waiting for a legitimate investigation, the United States attacked Syrian government when reports of a chemical attack were circulated by the social media and completely refused to acknowledge numerous documented chemical attacks on Syrian citizens by the U.S. and rebel groups that the U.S. funds. While there is speculation of whether a chemical attack did happen in Douma, there are also a number of holes in the United States military's claim that the missiles they launched hit facilities where the Syrian government was actively brewing up chemical weapons. One of the largest questions in response is that if the U.S. really had hit a massive facility with a chemical weapons cache when they were being produced, Wouldn't that have contaminated the air in the entire water system and arguably killed more civilians than the initial attack by the chlorine gas that the U.S. claims the Syrian government carried out? As Saeed stood outside of the rubble from what used to be the Cancer Research Center, he argued that if it had been filled with chemical weapons, he and his colleagues would be forced to wear gas masks. And I quote, he said, "If there were any chemical weapons in this building, we would not be here. My colleagues and I came here at 0500 this morning. If there were any chemical weapons, we would need to be wearing gas masks and other protective measures just to be standing outside right now." Nobody wants to talk about this stuff. Everybody wants to praise idiot Trump for letting loose another launch on Syria right now and say, "That's good, let's bomb another country." This is absolutely ludicrous to me that the majority of the population have been so brainwashed, and now we have a president that we voted in, that we supported to get in now, essentially bombing more sovereign countries, all under the pretext because he doesn't want to have his butt get showed to the world with all the crap that he's hidden from everybody over the last 20 to 30 years that his lawyer is essentially covered up now. This is absolutely ridiculous. I am extremely disappointed with this entire situation and the fact that now, again, we're seeing a military arm buildup, now $10 billion increase on the stock portfolio of these top contractors. This just shows you that, again, the reason why they're betting on it is because they know there is a very high likely we are about to go to a full-blown hot war. There's a reason why there's 3,600 Marines on the Jordan-Syria border doing an exercise right now. There's a reason why Russia just brought two huge ships in to Syria, offloading tanks, mine detectors, devices, and temporary bridge building machines. This is about to go hot, in my opinion, and everybody's going, "Oh, well, Russia back down. Putin's a little baby. He didn't do anything about it. Ha, ha, ha. You know, we called him out and he didn't do anything." I'm looking at him going, "Are you kidding me right now? Are you really wanting to act this arrogant that you're going to sit there and say Putin's a big baby because he didn't do a retaliatory strike yet?" Everybody needs to keep their mouth shut right now because this is not over. And I am no way going to mock somebody in another country that is allies with a country that we just bombed, especially when we have no idea what Russia and Iran are cooking up right now, Dad, behind the scenes. I think this is far from over, especially now that we're seeing with pretty much full confidence these were not chemical weapon sites. They were cancer and pharmaceutical and drug research sites to try to build drugs for Syrian people because we've essentially put them into oblivion with all of our doggone restrictions and sanctions we put on that country right now, man.
You know, it's interesting you say that all because, I mean, last night I was in the gym here at a hotel in Birmingham. I'm at a pastor's conference, and I was working out. And there were a couple guys in there in their late 20s, early 30s, and we started talking about politics. And they were all pro bombing Syria. And I said to them, I said, why would you be pro bombing Syria? Well, haven't you been watching the news? You know, we need to bomb Syria. I'm like, why? And they go, well, because they killed their own people. I said, so we're going to go in and kill a bunch of their people too. That's going to make it okay. They killed their people. I said, so we all kill everybody's people? And I said, haven't you ever heard of the Treaty of Westphalia? And they looked at me like I was from another planet. Like, what are you talking about, Treaty of Westphalia? And I said, it was, you know, all these nations of the earth kind of signed that thing back, you know, 100 years ago, said that, you know, we weren't going to invade a foreign country or go into it with military personnel if they were in the middle of a civil war unless we were asked. I said, we're breaking that treaty right now. And I said, on top of that, there's no proof that Assad did it. I said, have you thought through this for a second? If Trump says a couple of weeks ago that we're leaving Syria, then suddenly Assad decides to attack his own people, knowing that the United States is going to attack Syria again, why would he do that? What would his motive be? And Austin, they looked at me like they were a calf at a new gate. Like, what the heck are you talking about? And they go, you've been watching too much Fox News. I said, I don't even watch Fox News. I said, why don't you guys ask the simple questions? You know, what's the gain? Who's the benefit? I said, don't you understand the world is controlled by a group of international banking cartels and oligarchy and huge corporations that run the whole show? And I said, that's what you guys have to understand. I said, we're just pawns in the game in this little thing. I said, they're just playing us against one another again. I said, your problem is, I said, you guys are young. I said, I'm in my 60s. I've seen them do this over and over and over and over to nauseam. And I said, you guys don't believe it's possible for our government to do the things that they're doing. So you're blaming me for watching Fox News. I don't even watch Fox News. I said, Chris Tucker is about the only one that ever says anything that's actually accurate.
And you know, he gets lambasted all the time. But guys, it's not okay that we bomb foreign countries that haven't done anything to us. What is the point? What is the benefit? And why in the world is it okay to do this? And they didn't know what to say after that. They kind of got quiet because they didn't expect me to actually have a comeback to them. Let's go bomb it again, you know? Anyhow, but let's talk about Michael Cohen for a second. The judge who's officiating in the Michael Cohen's case right now is also the judge who officiated the George Soros wedding. It's like George Soros' fourth wedding. Federal Judge Kimba Wood, who was overseeing the court case against Donald Trump's personal attorney, Michael Cohen, also officiated the 2013 wedding of George Soros and his current wife. The judge is currently weighing whether to have a new third neutral party review the content seized in the FBI raids on the office, home, and the hotel of Mr. Cohen. And Mr. Cohen's attorneys have also sought to keep the government from reviewing the materials by asserting attorney-client privilege. The government is currently probing Mr. Cohen's $130,000 payment to the porn star. Judge Wood, who will decide on these issues, married Mr. Soros, then 83, with his 42-year-old bride, Tamiko Bolton, in 2013. I mean, this is absolutely crazy stuff, guys. This actually is going on in this incestuous relationship at this level of these judges. Remember, we've talked about this, and I am the only show that I have ever heard that talked about this, about the Federal Society with Newt Gingrich stacking the federal courts and the federal judges and the federal attorneys and all these people, the 500 attorneys in Washington that pretty much run the country and prevent prosecution from taking place. These are the guys that are continuing to run interference for all of the globalists as far as they're getting them arrested and taken out. It is a completely and totally 90% corrupted judiciary is what we have in the United States. And we've got to get a whole bunch of these federal judges out. Of course, they're appointed for life. There you go. How's that working out for everybody? And we've got to get a lot of these guys out of the office, get them basically taken out by Congress, if at all possible, and get fresh people in there that are constitutionalists who are unwilling to allow the federal society to continue to promote this, how should I say, this socialist agenda throughout the United States. What do you think, Austin?
No, you nailed it, man. This is the issue that I brought up last week when I talked about how Governor Rick Scott, our current Florida governor, who basically is a traitor to the Constitution, in my opinion, and signed one of the most aggressive gun bills in Florida history, if not in ever any history, as far as with any of the states, banning anyone from under 21 owning or purchasing a firearm. Apparently, you know, I told you guys last week, now, after he signed that bill, he's apparently running for Senate. Of course he is, because he's gotten a nod to go. So this is what these guys are doing now. And this is the problem that we've got ourselves into, is more and more and more they're working at the bottom of the level, and they're allowing these guys and seeing which ones want to play ball. Okay, how about you're Republican, you're supported by the NRA, how about we have you pass this incredibly aggressive gun bill? Well, I don't know if I can really do that, guys. I mean, that kind of goes against everything I thought. Well, guess what? How about this? How about we tell you you're going to get the nod for Senate, and if you pass it, you'll get the nod and win? And he goes, well, that's a stretch of an imagination. Can you guys make that happen? They go, we can make anything happen. We own the courts. We own the judges. We own the Congress. We own the Senate. If we want you in there, we get you in there. If we can't get you to win by all the votes, then we just pull up enough dirt on your opponent that's playing against you. This is what they do, guys. We see it happen over and over and over again. There's countless examples of when we've seen right before the elections happen, all of a sudden somebody comes out, just like recently in the, what state was it? It was South Carolina. Yeah, Alabama. Right into the thick of things, right where we're getting close to vote. Now all of a sudden this girl comes out, oh my gosh, this man molested me and tried to have sex with me 40 years ago when I was 15. And all of a sudden everybody goes, oh my gosh, he did that? It doesn't even matter if it's true. It doesn't matter if she's lying. It doesn't matter if any of it's accurate. Now it's in the headlines. It gets circulated day after day after day until the point that they make sure he loses. That is just a recent example of it. That happens on a U.S. base-wide all the time. This is what they've been doing now, and that's exactly right. The only way to get our government back in line is to get, sad as it is, a huge percentage of these current guys out of office. Now, there's some of them that were old school, like Ron Paul. I loved him. You know, it's a shame he's out now, but he was getting old. Rand Paul, in my opinion, he's done a lot to support the Constitution. He's been very vocal about not bombing Syria, about not passing this monster budget, about auditing the Fed. He's very, very much on point. Guys like that is what we need in office right now. It doesn't matter if everybody agrees, even if they're leaning Democrat, even if they don't have all the same beliefs we have, but they at least have to have the base and the roots of constitutional law and not just sit there and say, well, Trump's got the authority because he's the president to go and bomb a sovereign country that's nor provoked us nor made any claims or any threats towards us. He doesn't have that executive authority, guys. Newsflash. I don't think anybody realizes that, but he does not have that approval from Congress to go and bomb a sovereign country on the pretext that they use gas on civilians. He doesn't have it. I looked it up. And people go, well, Obama did it. Yeah, Obama did a lot of things. The problem is what they're doing now is they're allowing him, and they've done it with Obama, and they did it with Bush. They allow these guys to get away with this stuff to go up past what their executive power entails and start wars with other countries, and Congress looks the other way and says, well, you know, we had to do it. We had to save the Syrian children. We had to send them freedom bombs, you know, because that makes sense, right? Assad used chemical weapons, so we have to bomb the people back. That'll make a difference, you know? They get bombed with chemical weapons, we bomb them with tomahawks. It all evens itself out. It all makes for a great story. No, it doesn't, guys. Not only is it unbelievably non-humanitarian, it's extremely illegal and unconstitutional. There's a reason why we had checks and balances with our different branches, so the government and the president specifically could not start acting like a dictator and raining bombs down on any country he felt like doing so simply because they said he needed to do it from the deep state bunker. The only reason, in my opinion, he did this is because he does not want the stuff getting leaked out about him that Cohen has got on him. Because if Cohen really did truly record all of his conversations with his clients, I can promise you there is some dirty, dirty stuff behind the scenes, because attorneys and clients, especially when they're in that type of business and that type of background, I promise you there's some very, very, very enlightening things, to say that softly, on Trump if they actually seize what they said they seized, Deb.
Well, you know, Billy Bush, who I know, by the way, I've been on his talk show. I've actually met him in person when he was, I forgot what city he was in. It was back in the 90s. He was a talk show, radio show, morning drive guy. Met him, real nice guy. You know, he came out with that video of Trump using the F word and grabbing women by their crotches and all that kind of stuff, and on tape. It crushed Trump, man. I mean, you know, it about cost him the election. If Hillary wasn't dirtier than Trump was at that point, it would have cost him the election. Because, you know, this is giving Trump's true character in private, personally, of how he acts. Now, this is with Billy Bush, who's a talk show host. What the heck's he going to say to his attorney? What's he going to say to his attorney? I mean, what kind of language is he going to use? I mean, how bad is it going to be? What's he going to talk about? And if that stuff is out there and it's going to be made public, and now, as you can see, they're crawfishing as far as releasing it and all the other stuff because of attorney-client privilege, all this other stuff, you know, because now it's like, you know, fruit of the poison vine, you can't do all of this. What ended up happening basically is you're going to have a situation in which Donald Trump is going to be handled. Just like I told my buddy, that pastor friend, you've been handled, they're going to handle Trump. Because Trump does not want his brand, his life, his legacy, and everything destroyed over something that he said to an attorney how many years ago. I mean, absolutely crazy. Especially if it was on audio tape also, and the tape gets released in Trump's own voice. There's no denying it. You remember that thing? Well, you don't remember. You were too young. But back in the 90s, with Monica Lewinsky, when she had sex with President Clinton, she was smart enough, being a plant that she was, probably from Mossad, she was smart enough that when they finished their little act, she kept the dress that had been stained with his body fluids. Now, you guys that don't remember this, don't even worry about this. Don't even try to go back and find it, but you'll find it. It's just disgusting. And when they finally came out and Clinton said, she's lying, I did not have sex with that woman,
she pulls out her dress out of her locker and says, "Oh, contraire, contraire, I've got your body fluids on here, Buckwheat." And all of a sudden, Mr. Clinton gets himself impeached. Guys, this is the kind of dirty stuff they will do every single time. How many more porn stars has Trump slept with? How many more whores has he slept with? How many more models in the Miss America, Miss Universe contest has he slept with? How much of this stuff has really happened with Donald Trump? I don't know. I'm speculating. Maybe none. His attorney probably knows all of it. And if that gets out, Trump basically has completely and totally tarnished his brand forever. His corporations will fold. Everything will fold. Some people are saying that his corporations are already having severe cash flow issues at this point. Guys, I don't know. All I know is this. We don't need to have presidents that have been compromised like Woodrow Wilson was, who brought us the Federal Reserve Act. We don't need stuff like that. By the way, the Mentonite minister who was imprisoned for 2 years in prison for helping a mother avoid placing her daughter with a lesbian has finally been set free. This is a crazy story, guys. A Mennonite minister spent 2 years in prison for allegedly helping a woman flee the country with her daughter in defiance of a court order requiring the child be allowed to have visitation with her lesbian partner is now free. Ken Miller, who had been serving his 27-month sentence in Vermont, returned home to Virginia last month and was greeted with his church with much jubilation. He was given a grand welcome at his church by flashing lights, sirens, and a shower courtesy of the Amish Auxiliary of the Stewart's Voluntary Fire Department. Miller had been convicted in 2012 of helping Lisa Miller and her young daughter Isabella travel to Buffalo, New York, where they took a taxi and crossed the border to Canada, boarding a plane to Nicaragua to prevent this lesbian visitation. Guys, he went to prison over that. Think through that for a second, because he was trying to do what was right in his mind and in these parents' minds. Guys, this is some absolute crazy stuff that is going on all of the time, and we have to understand, guys, we all have to stand in the gap and be willing to do what needs to be done if we're called to do it. It's like me doing this talk show with Austin. You know, I had a pastor say on Sunday, I heard him preach, he said, many of you want to retire and not do what you need to do in your life, not continue to follow God's calling in your life. Well, how do you know if you don't follow God's calling and you decide to retire, it's about time for you to expire. It's about time for you to check off and be off the planet. He goes, you should never, ever walk away from your anointing or your calling until it's the final thing that you do. Guys, that's where we all are right now. We have to understand something. I'm in my 60s. I didn't see myself doing a national talk show that my entire day centers around every single day. I'm in a conference right now. I had to walk out of the conference to get prepped for the show, and now I'm in a conference room. I didn't think I'd be doing all of this stuff in my 60s. I thought I'd be retired, chilling out with the grandkids. Courtesy of you, Austin. Thank you. But that's not what God called. But that's not what God called me to do. God's called me to much more. And chances are, our reach and our growth and our ability to help people will be more by the time I'm 70 than it was when I was 50. More by the time I'm 80 than I was when I was 40. Guys, it's so important that we don't walk away from God's anointing and the calling on our lives. I just had Matthew send me a wonderful letter just a moment ago. Said that basically that I helped him by our show, make him feel like part of our family, and he's been born again. I had another lady, Pat, who basically called up and said that she just doesn't even know how to express her gratitude towards us because of what we do for them and how we've been able to help her in so many different ways, including health-wise, and how every time they contact us, we contact them back, and they're part of our group, part of our family, part of our tribe, if you want to call us a tribe. It's the Brower tribe, the Health Master tribe. I mean, this is what we have. This is what we have, guys. You guys are part of our family. You're part of a group. Now, does that mean everybody's involved? Everybody's going to be in the tribe? Absolutely not. A lot of people don't have ears to hear what we have to preach or teach. They don't have that. They don't want to understand. They don't want to learn because of normalcy bias or because of other reasons what's really going on with their life, with their health, or with the government. But guys, you're here because your ears want to hear the truth of what we have to say. Now, are we right all the time? Absolutely not. Sometimes we miss it. But guys, one thing we will be is this. We will be genuine. These aren't scripted comments that we make. We don't have a teleprompter. We are basically giving you an article, giving you a research study, and giving you our opinions on it. The truth of the matter is, guys, we're right a lot more than we're wrong by the grace of God and by His leading of His Holy Spirit. And that's what's a blessing for us to be here with you guys and to share what we know and at least make a difference as far as I'm concerned. Now, I want to talk about lemons for a second. We'll go from this to lemons. Kind of a bad segue. That was a really bad segue, by the way. But I want to bring this up today. The segue is a transition from one story to another. The anti-cancer benefits of lemon. I've talked about this so many times, and I just want you to know that lemons are critical. We drink lemon juice all the time. I'm going to give you the recipe in just a second. There are actually 22 anti-cancer compounds that can actually reduce your cancer risk by up to 50% in lemons. Cellular detoxification is the heart of the many benefits of lemon, and also it actually helps to strengthen the liver. It deals with being anionic and cationic as far as in its molecular structure with its electrons and how it generates energy from the digestive system, which I'm not going to get into detail now because it would take too long. But what it basically does, it helps to rejuvenate the liver. Now, the way you do it is this. You can use stevia to sweeten it with. Don't use sugar or high fructose corn syrup or anything like that. But you can use stevia. And you can actually take 1 ounce of fresh squeezed lemon juice. It has to be fresh squeezed with 9 ounces of water. You put the stevia, stir it up. Put ice in it and have the most delicious lemonade you've ever dreamed of having. Drink that once or twice a day. It also helps to bring blood sugar down very, very quickly. So watch it. If you're taking blood sugar medication and your sugars are high and you start doing the lemonade, monitor your blood sugar. It's really, really, really important. It super strengthens the pancreas and the liver. That's why I use it on an ongoing basis. I also use liver support on an ongoing basis. That's a phenomenal product we have at Health and Masters. It's an incredible product. Plus, I also use the one product also. What's it called? The one that we have that basically has the ashwagandha and all that other stuff we have in it. I use that every single day, too. It's the
Cortisol Buster?
Yes, Cortisol Buster. I always take that one. Forgive me. I have so many bottles of pills in the motorhome that I just kind of dump them into a Vitapak every month and then take them out until they're gone. The Cortisol Buster, because the ashwagandha is incredibly important, and the B-complex. Those are all these really good products that we have to take every single day to keep our brains booted up. It makes me think that I should need to take more so I can remember the name of my own product. How sad is that? But the thing about it is that we have to understand that, guys, that lemon is one of those things that we need to be using on an ongoing basis, especially if you have elevated blood sugars. Now, one other thing you can do with the elevated blood sugars, you can get on our healthy blood sugar protocol. And there's one other thing you can do if you really have high sugars is you can start using liquid chlorophyll. You can do it in fresh smoothies and grind up your own greens if you want to do that, or you can get liquid chlorophyll and add it to your drinks. Be careful because it can stain the teeth, but be very careful with liquid chlorophyll. That's why I don't talk about it much. It will drop your sugars quicker than a doggone snake's belly in a wagon rut. I mean, it'll drop. I had the other day, I had a green drink, and 30 minutes later, I told Sharon, my sugars have dumped from the chlorophyll. I got to go lay down. I took like a 2-hour nap in the chair. I couldn't even believe I dropped it that hard because the blood sugar is directly affected because chlorophyll and blood, by the way, are almost identical in their molecular structure. I just want to mention that to you. But when you use chlorophyll, it really brings your blood sugar down very, very quickly. But be careful with it, especially if you've got a problem. If you have normal blood sugar or have a tendency towards hypoglycemia, it's best not to use the green smoothies. Just want to mention that to you guys because it can dump your sugars too low. What's your next story, Austin?
Oh, absolutely. Well, since we're on sugar and health topics right now, this is a really interesting one that I wanted to bring up now. A research study out of a laboratory in the University of Gallup discussed on the aspects of can a diet high in refined sugars and high fructose corn syrup make children and adults more susceptible to opioid addiction and overdose? They said approximately 20,000 people died just off fentanyl overdoses in the United States last year. As you guys know, the opioid epidemic we have in the United States is a serious issue. There's a lot of reasons behind it that I talk about all the time, but this one actually is discussing more on the health aspect on what makes you more susceptible as far as with sugar. They said, however, nobody ever talks about sugar. High schools are stocking up on overdose reducing drug naloxone. zone, and universities are training staff on how to administer the drug, yet nobody is still talking about sugar. Yet there's a substantial experimental evidence that refined sugar can actually promote addictive behavior by activating the brain's reward centers in much the same way as addictive drugs. They said opioid abuse is also associated, it can be associated with high sugar intake, including high fructose corn syrup. They said to explore the possible role of this, they investigated whether unlimited access to high fructose corn syrup altered rats' neural and behavioral responses to the semi-synthetic opioid oxycodone. They said our findings suggest that a diet high in corn syrup may dampen the reward associated with oxycodone and may therefore encourage larger consumptions and higher quantities of the drug. They said high fructose corn syrup is refined sugar. This typically includes more fructose than glucose. Recently, the laboratory began exploring the impacts of high fructose corn syrup on behaviors and brain markers of addiction in laboratory rats. So similar to other opioids, oxycodone induces pharmacological effects that include basically euphoria and feelings of relaxation. That's what comes with basically the opiate high on it. And so they go into detail here and discuss how when they did this study with the mice, that the mice were much more susceptible basically to use more and more and higher amounts when they were exposed to large amount of high fructose corn syrup first in the beginning of the study compared to the other mice that did not have any high fructose corn syrup and then still had the chance to go use the oxycodone. They all used less amounts, much less amounts, and were had less time going back and forth to get more doses of the oxycodone when they had not been exposed to high fructose corn syrup from the beginning. So this is something that you have to think about, especially if you have children as well. And of course, if you're, you know, concerned about your health, you should never be eating high fructose corn syrup. I've talked about that repeatedly. That stuff is unbelievably toxic to the liver and the pancreas. But when you start looking at this from a strategic standpoint, from the globalist, pharmaceutical, big food, big agri industry, doesn't it make sense to start putting high fructose corn syrup in everything? We already know it's incredibly cheap of a sweetener. That's why a lot of companies use it. However, now we're starting to see that it actually increases the chances of you using these drugs and wanting to use more of them after you've used high fructose corn syrup for a while. So I found that to be very interesting, Dad. I'm sure that's not the only reason why we have obviously seen the opiate epidemic. However, when you start looking at the fact that high fructose corn syrup is relatively new to the market. This is not something that's been in every food and on the shelves for the last 80, 90, 100 years. This is really something that's taken off in the last 30 to 40 years, and specifically in about the last 25 years, has it gotten prevalent in almost everything you eat now. You constantly see corn syrup solids, fructose syrup, high fructose corn syrup, all these different ones. And now what companies have gotten away with, because the FDA has allowed them to, if they have under 70% fructose or under 60% fructose in the syrup, they don't have to actually call it corn syrup or fructose corn syrup anymore. They can simply call it fructose, which I find very odd. But so this is something that we're seeing more and more of. This is another reason why I tell everybody, stay off the high fructose corn syrup, Dad.
It's a brain entrainment molecule, Austin. It's a dopamine trigger, yeah. What it is. And of course, it would lead directly to other compounds being basically doing the same thing as far as dopamine triggers. If you get enough of this sugar, high fructose, and sugar is bad, but it's not anywhere near as bad as high fructose corn syrup. High fructose corn syrup is one of those do not put into your body. I mean, if you had a little Smucker's jelly or something like that at a breakfast table and you open up one of those little containers and use like a teaspoon of that or something like that, okay, world's not coming to an end. You're not getting addicted to fructose. If you sit down and start eating, you know, all this jelly, all this unnatural stuff every single day, and you're, you know, hammering fructose all the time with everything you're eating, you got a problem. It's going to get bad, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get real bad. Then you can start getting a fatty liver on top of everything else. They know that. They know what high fructose corn syrup does. But, of course, we continue to subsidize the entire high fructose corn syrup market. And remember, almost all of this corn is GMO, and almost all of it has been soaked in glyphosate. So not only are you getting high fructose corn syrup, which is a brain entrainment molecule, you're getting glyphosate and you're getting GMO food, and all this stuff can basically not sustain your health. You're going to go downhill. It goes back to the Jason scholars back into the 50s, 60s, 70s. They worked with DARPA for years and years and years. And they said the number one cause of problem, the problem we have on the planet, is too many people.
We've got to get the number of people down. And now, you know, of course, we know that's true. We know it's true. They're doing their best. But they don't. I'm going to say this again. And I mentioned this before about a year ago. They don't care about getting rid of the indigenous populations of third world countries that are producing 100 million more people every single year. They want to get rid of the white people. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like, you know, we got like some kind of curse of Cain on us or something, and they're trying to kill us all. I mean, they don't understand that we're the ones that basically, through the Protestant work ethic and through Christianity for the last 2,000 years, built the culture in the countries that are worth living in the world right now that aren't third world hellholes. And they don't get that. They just want to get rid of the whites. And I mean, it's sad to me, Austin, because there's no point in this because, you know, well, there's a point. If they get rid of the primary leadership on the planet, the rest of the people, the goyim, the slaves, the subhumans as they think we are, they'll can be a lot easier to control. But I'm going to do another segue into eating walnuts, which is another terrible segue, so here we go. eating walnuts are found to protect the colon from cancerous tumors. This is a good article. If you're not a big fan of walnuts, now you might have time to start hacking and snacking, not hacking, but snacking on them because they can help decelerate colon tumor growth. According to a study done by Dr. Christos Manzoros, professor of medicine at Harvard School of Medicine. The researchers ran tests on mice, and their findings revealed that the daily consumption of walnuts effectively slowed colon tumor growth. It also influenced genetic molecules in the tumor that are crucial to gene expression. The study looked into how diet and walnuts' omega-3 fats were linked to cancer by targeting microDNAs, the small non-coding chunks of RNAs that seem to have a role in cell development and cell death. Earlier research produced findings which imply that both nutrients and phytochemicals can affect how these microRNAs are expressed in cancer cells. And the current study referenced research by the same group that says that walnuts have a protective role in colon health and colon cancer. Guys, really, really, really important to understand that we don't need colon rectal cancer. A couple quick facts on colon cancer. Colon cancer is also called colon rectal cancer. If diagnosed early, colon cancer can be treated. Even if the cancer spreads to nearby lymph nodes, surgical treatment and different types of effective treatments are known. Yeah, I'm talking medical models now. For severe cases, when the colon cancer has spread to the liver, lungs, and other sites, treatment can allow some patients to undergo surgery. However, it's not real good. If it spreads throughout the whole system, it's not a high probability in conventional medicine. Most cases of colon cancer first develop as polyps or abnormal growth inside of the colon or rectum. Polyps can be turned cancerous if they're not removed immediately. Now, also remember, if you have high enough fiber in your diet, you have enough vitamin E, C, A, selenium, all of this stuff, it helps to reduce these polyps, and also you make sure you have enough fiber. Men and women of all racial and ethnic groups can develop colon cancer, especially if you're older than 50. Take note that colon cancer among patients younger than 50 is steadily increasing, and colon cancer kills around 50,000 people every single year. Now, people are always asking me about colon screening and basically going in and getting scoped. Here's my whole thing with that. If you have a history of colon rectal cancer in your family, if you have a history of bad diet, if you have a history of eating a low-fiber diet, you probably need to get yourself scoped. You really do. I mean, if you're going to eat like that and live like that or have that DNA, you probably need to get it checked. If, on the other hand, colorectal cancer has never been issued in your family and you're eating clean, you probably don't have that big of a reason to go have the screening done. That's my opinion. That's my take on it, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely not a joke. It can be a serious issue. So, I mean, in the biggest aspect that, I mean, like he's saying, and we always try to tell you guys, is preventative maintenance. Just like you do with a house, just like you do with a car, doing the best you can with these proper foods that we talk about, with these healthy nutrients that we talk about, with good dietary fibers, keeping good regular bowel movements, make sure you're eating good and clean probiotics, you know, a very, very high dosed probiotics. I had a customer ask me the other day, they emailed us up because I told you we have now just released the probiotic 350 billion, which actually at manufacturing time it is 650 billion per packet, but it has to be at what the minimum dosage would be after the 2-year expiration date, so it has to be listed at 350 even though it's a brand new batch. And he goes, is it really necessary for that high of a dosage to have 350 billion colony forming units? And when it's first batch, it's 650 billion. And I said, how necessary is good health? I said, if you've been on antibiotics, if you have an issue with digestion, if you're having a problem and you're trying to make sure you do everything you can to fix it, I said, what's the limit on it? A trillion CFU. I mean, where's the number? I said, this is the strongest, most effective probiotic formula that I've ever seen in the entire world. And there's a reason why we carry it. There's a reason why we do very small batches on it, because it's very expensive. But if you're suffering from something, if you're trying to get your gut health back in check, if you've been on antibiotics for an extended period of time, you might as well give it the best shot you have. And so it's only 15 packets per can. It's not designed to be used long term if you don't need to do so, but doing so at least for four to six weeks if you need to, and then going back down to the lower doses like the 100 billion or just the standard probiotic DF. But that is why we came out with it, because when you're dealing with gut health and when you have the brain and gut basically balance that needs to be with the connection there, there's so many things that are involved with healthy digestion. And we've seen now, Dan and I both, especially him, because he's done this way longer than I have, on people that just by changing the foods, just by cleaning out their colon, just by getting the proper probiotics in their system, completely changes their entire outlook, whether it be if they're down all the time, if they're having energy issues, if they're having focusing issues. Just doing that and getting the body and the digestion where it needs to be and getting the colon rid of toxins plays a very, very crucial role in your overall health. Because you think about it, guys, you can take in all the clean supplements you want. You can take in all the clean foods you want. But if you're not digesting it properly and you're not eliminating the toxins properly in your system, and you have stuff built up for months and years in your body that shouldn't be there from poor food and poor dietary habits, it's only going to help so much until you get your body cleaned out. That's why we also have the Colonic 7-Day Cleanse Kit, which is a very more aggressive kit that we have, but that's also a very effective one. Or you can go with something like we have with the Atrialo formula, or the Fiberlean formula, or even just the GHI with the intestinal cleaner. There's multiple options we have. So if you need something like that, feel free to give us a call up over at Health Masters. Kind of got on a sidetrack with that, Dad, but it's definitely something that's really, really important. Also, too, in other research
I want to say one thing.
Yeah.
This is something that people don't like talking about, and that's bowel habits and how often you use the bathroom. And Austin's absolutely right about this. I mean, I know people who literally, women that I've gone out with in college, who literally had bowel movements once a month whenever they started their periods. Now you say, well, I can't believe you're talking about this, Ted. This is really awful. I agree with you. It's awful. But I also know the same woman that I'm knowing specifically in reference here, she came down with cancer in her 20s. Now, it's very important that we understand that we need to have 2 to 3 regular bowel movements a day. I've done lectures on this, and everybody's always, oh, I can't believe he's talking about it. But that's okay, though. We're on a podcast now, so I don't have to ask you questions. You don't have to raise your hand so nobody has to get embarrassed in a big room. So here's the thing. If you want to check out what's called your fecal transit time, which is how long it takes from food to go into your body and come out your body, you need to just eat some organic corn. You think, well, that sounds kind of crude. Well, no, just eat some organic corn. Just get some organic corn, eat 2 or 3 corns of corn on the cobs, or 2 or 3 servings of corn, and you'll know how quickly it comes out. It should come out no more than 12 to 24 hours. That's it. It should be in and out and gone, finished. If it's in you for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and before the corn comes out, you got a problem. You're literally plugged up. The colon's not designed to handle huge amounts of food at one time or be plugged up like a sausage. It's designed to have a bolus of food come from your stomach and work its way through your intestinal tract, down through into your large intestine, transverse, ascending, transverse, descending colon, out the rectum. That's how it's designed to work, just to pick up a piece of food, carry it through the body, etc. If you have loose stools or you have watery stools, that's not healthy. If you have rigid, hard stools, that's not healthy. But you need to be using the toilet 2 to 3 times a day, every day. Going once a week, no good. Going once a month, really bad. It'll affect your skin. It'll affect blemishes on your skin. It'll cause your skin to have eruptions. It massively increases the risks of colon rectal cancer. It also will give you bad breath. It does all kinds of problems with this. So there's natural ways you can do it. We've got some really good psyllium seed, but that should only be used on a semi-regular basis. You should never take that every single day. You probably never thought you'd hear me say that, but I'm saying that. It's better to eat apples. It's better to eat oranges. Eat things that are basically real high in fiber. We just had two oranges each for lunch here at the conference. They brought us in a boxed lunch, which had sodium nitrite in the turkey, and I basically said, no, thank you. I'll pass on that. I'll eat my oranges and have a tonka bar, which is a beef stick, which is a buffalo stick. Okay, there's all kinds of natural things that you can do. Now, the magnesium brain food, it does a really good job for a lot of people keeping their bowels also regulated. That's a really good way of doing it. Just be careful. Don't give yourself diarrhea. We have the Atrialo product that Austin was talking about earlier. We also have the magnesium capsules that work really, really well. Also, make sure you drink 8 to 10 glasses of water a day. It's very, very important because the bulk of the water in the body is reabsorbed through the intestinal tract, primarily through the colon. And if you don't get enough water in there, that colon starts to dehydrate, and then that feces, that poop, basically gets hardened inside of the intestinal tract, and it can cause all kinds of problems, including creating all kinds of health issues that we don't have to talk about right now. But guys, it's so important to keep your bowels moving every single day. Like Austin said, we have a 7-day cleansing program using colonics. That's a more advanced treatment protocol for people that have some serious health issues. Or we have what we've already talked about as far as keeping the bowels moving. But that's one of the first things that happens to you when you start getting sick, is your immune system starts to become compromised in many cases when you get constipated. So make sure those bowels move every single day. Very, very important. I know I don't normally talk about that. It's kind of a distasteful topic, but I really need to cover it. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. Gosh, thank you for giving me the opportunity to pray for you. Thank you for giving me the privilege of praying for you. It's so awesome for me to be able to do that. Thank you for praying for us. I love you guys. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for being here for us. I just can't tell you how much I appreciate everything that you guys continue to do for us on an ongoing basis, and for the support and the prayers and the love you have for us and that we have for you. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you. Austin, go ahead and close it up. Love you guys. Talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely, man. Thank you, guys. We do appreciate the support, and thank you for having patience with us when we get back to everybody via the emails and so forth. Of course, if you guys need anything at all, healthmasters.com. We're here for you guys. Absolutely. If you need anything, give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. Be sure, if you need to get the Ultimate Multiple, which is on sale for Product of the Week, you buy it by tonight. It will be changing over tomorrow for whatever the new winner is, which it looks like right now the Magnesium Body Balm is pushing pretty hard to be the winner, unless a lot of you guys go on there and vote for something else different that you want. So that's on the front page of the website, so be sure to check it out and take advantage of that sale of the Ultimate Multiple on sale for 15% off right now. That'll be ending tomorrow. And of course, if you want to get the kits on sale still, we have the Basic Healthy Lifestyle Kit, the Maximum Energy Kit, which is also a very, very popular one that keeps a lot of your basics together as well. So all those are on the website at healthmasters.com. We're here for you guys. Absolutely. If you need anything at all, give us a call. Thank you. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.